morning. It's good to see everyone here today, and welcome to our church. I'm not Pastor Martha.
No, I don't know.
Pastor Martha's enjoying some vacation time, we hope, for this week and for next. And so she asked if I would come and fill in for her while she's away, and I'm happy to do that. For those that don't know my name, it's Rich Robison, and I'm familiar with this church because many, 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 many years ago, when my hair was a different color, I worked here as the associate pastor in the early 1980s, and have stayed in touch with many of the families here over the years, and have appreciated the relationship and the support of this church in many ways in my own ministry and work. So it's always a pleasure for me to come back and to be a part of your services. I had the privilege of also filling in a year and a half ago or so when Pastor Martha was out on a medical leave, and so I got to become reacquainted quite well with folks over those weeks. So it's fun to keep the relationship going. So thank you very much for the invitation. As far as announcements, I have absolutely no knowledge of any announcements. But I will open it to anyone here who does have an announcement. Richard?
The choir begins on the 10th of September. We'll see you at 9:45 in the loft.
Okay. Mark your calendars. It's that time of year to get back at things again. Any other announcements? We'll have an opportunity just before the prayer to share prayer concerns, but in the meantime, we'll say welcome, and if you're visiting with us, a particular welcome, and there'll be a refreshment time in the room. David, wave your hand, so he will step aside and allow you to go through and find the coffee and the goodies at that time. So let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. And please join me in the responsive call to worship. And I'll just say as we start the service that if you're having a difficult time hearing, because I can't quite tell what my voice is doing over the microphone, if you wave your hand, that'll be a clue that you're not hearing very well. And I'll try to project it, okay? So let us come to worship. We have been called to walk the faithful road and to choose the ways of God's justice.
We are here because we believe strongly that our God is good and that we live in ever goodness. We are here to proclaim our faith and to seek direction along this faith journey.
Come together then to be God's people. Follow Christ and listen for the good things that God has done. Rise up in praise and thanksgiving.
Let us share with others the goodness we have found in God.
May our lives be living proof of that goodness. Let us worship God together. Our hymn is number 42, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Our dream.
let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that we can come and find peace, comfort, and rest in you, that we can come here and be secure amid the conflict and the confusion of our lives. We thank you that you provide for our needs, that you have trusted us to one another's care. Help us to receive with humbleness and to give with joy without fear of tomorrow. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated.
Let me be the touch of comfort.
Thank you, Irene, for that gift. We come now to a time for prayer, a time to pause in the busyness of our lives and the confusion of our minds, to open our hearts and our spirits before God. So let me just ask if there are those things that you'd like to include in our prayer time today. Please.
My sister Beth is still going through the chemotherapy, so I'd like somebody to say a prayer for her. That's something that's not
awesome. Okay, thank you. And tell me her first name again.
Beth.
Okay. Thank you. Richard.
I have one. Our second oldest granddaughter is off to college this week, and her parents are driving her to Florida. I imagine the drive back will be more sad than the drive down. As I remember when we took our first one to college, I think Dorian cried all the way home.
I'm not surprised.
All the way to Florida, too.
All the way to Florida. Wow.
Yes, our neighbor in Mailon also, he's the same person, John. He's having a problem with his eyes, and he's 80-something, and he's an outgoing guy, and ever since then, he's been in the house and with his wife. He's not alone, but I pray for his vision to get better.
Thank you. I think I saw a hand here. Yes.
Yeah, for Claire Stevens and her family.
Sorry, I'm...
Claire Stevens and her family.
Okay. That's the other thing that's happened over the years is the hair changed, but the hearing isn't so good.
We got four birthdays to celebrate and one marriage and 35 years.
Four birthdays and a 5-year anniversary. Well, I think if we want parties, we go to the Hickey family. Having foot surgery is not child's play. It takes time to recuperate from that. Yes.
Yeah, Reverend Dominie emailed me last night that she had a request from the Rustine family. Joan Rustine has been admitted to the Tufts Medical and to the ICU unit with breathing difficulties, and she is on breathing apparatus. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Others? Yes, please.
I'm going to ask prayers for my friends from Broadway, Eleanor and Mario Marini. They had moved to assisted living about 4 months ago, although Eleanor has stayed in Silver Falls, and she is now in a nursing home. Mm. And probably will not be returning.
Okay.
Sad. They've been married 65 years.
Wow.
Very difficult for them to be separated.
Thank you. Understood. Difficult to be separated and difficult to do that step down from one assisted living to nursing homes. Thank you. Did I see another? I'm sure there are many things on our hearts and minds. Let us pause for a moment and go before God. Let us pray. Our loving God, we come before you today so aware that we live in a world that is marked by an absence of love. But we know that where there should be togetherness and unity, there is strife. And where there should be harmony, there is dissension. That where there should be love, there is hatred. Voices of calm and peace are drowned among the shouts of chaos and confusion and hatred. We feel it and face it in the world around us. We experience it even though we come and seek protection in the church. In the face of these events and these times, oh God, we turn to you. For you are the one who offers us life and grace and redemption. As Christ has loved us and laid down his own life for us, so give us the strength to love others, even when we are not of the same mind. Fill our lives with the Spirit that empowered him, that created and sustained reconciliation in the world. Open our eyes and our hearts, that we may look upon our world and those within it with the same vision that Christ would have had, and see the needs of sisters and brothers and families, regardless of from where they come, their origin, their place to begin, that we are together as your people. So open our ears that we might hear with Christ's ears when we face cries of pain and hurt. Open our hearts and our hands that we might respond with a Christ-like compassion and bring love to bear in this hurting and confused world. We come to this place with grateful hearts, recognizing the privilege of being able to gather in a safe space, to be connected as a community of believers and people of faith, to find the strength of being together in order that as we go in our various ways, we might find that strength carries with us. We thank you for each one who is here, for the prayers and the concerns that we bring to this time. We pray particularly for those with health concerns, for Beth, for John, for Claire, for friends, for moms and dads, those recovering from surgery, those who are receiving care in the hospital, particularly intensive care. We celebrate the various changes of our lives, birthdays. Those are grand celebrations for most. Anniversaries, an anniversary of 5 years. For those moving on to the next phase of their life, grandchildren going to college, this is the season where all of those things begin anew and begin again. As we face new ventures, as we take risks and move ahead with our lives, oh God, give us strength. Give us the power of your love at work in the world. Bring to pass the day so long awaited when all of our peoples will live in harmony and the human family will be united under your sovereign rule. Grant that we, those who confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, grant that we would be a society of your friends and stand together to answer your high calling of love and service to fulfill the vision that you have for our world. O God, hear our prayers, for we ask them humbly in your name and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is our privilege to gather. It's our privilege to serve. We serve God even as we offer our gifts and offerings. Let us worship God. God, with grateful hearts, we come before you and offer these gifts this day. and dedicate them that they indeed might be used to proclaim your love in all that we say and all that we do. Bless us, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from John chapter 10, 1 through 6. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech. They did not understand what he was telling them. I'm wondering how many people here have ever memorized the 23rd Psalm. Quite a few. Yeah. I did that when I was 8 years old because I was in Bible school. Everybody knows what Bible school is? Summer vacation Bible school, a time when the churches would sometimes come together and do a collective education for the children. It wasn't expensive, which is why I got to go. My mother was thrilled that she could send all three of we had five kids in the family, but at least three of us got to go to Bible school at the same time. And the old, broken down, yellow school bus that the church that we were attending had purchased. It had no air conditioning, as you might guess. I grew up in Chicago. It was 95 and humid, and so those crickety windows were rattling around in that old door that opens and closes in the middle, come rolling through the neighborhood in the morning and pick us up and bring us back late in the afternoon. I can remember standing in front of a microphone on Parents' Night. The microphone was a little bigger than this one. It said GE on it. It was about, it seemed to me, as with an 8-year-old face, who was probably down like this, and the microphone looked as big as a stage, because that's all I could see, except for peripheral vision. I could see all of these people in the audience. And so the whole of my face was covered. And peering around the edges, I knew that my parents were there somewhere, but I didn't really want to think about that too much because I didn't want to get too nervous about that. My job was to repeat the 23rd Psalm from memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then freeze. But a loving teacher off stage behind a curtain, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then it came and we started. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you notice the King James is what I was taught? Now you can read it all different ways. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod make me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house. Different interpretations, different words, similar message. It's one part of Scripture that we say over and over again. It never fails to bring comfort to our spirit. Its beauty, its poetic grace. All who read it or hear it, whatever their age or their race or their religious background or circumstance, everyone seems to find comfort, don't they, in those words. Peace and satisfaction. We'll say it at a funeral. We'll say it at a time of devotion. We'll say it when we just need to meditate and have peace. The weary have found rest. The sick have found comfort. Those who are grieving have found assurance. Have you heard of CNN syndrome? CNN is that broadcasting thing on the television that takes one topic and talks it to death. They have more interviews of more people talking about the same thing for hours and hours and hours in every different which way you can think of. And people have gotten so addicted, if you will, to what they're going to say next that they hang on every word. And so they have the television on going hour after hour after hour with the same headline. And it's always the breaking headline. Well, I thought that broke. Well, lately there have been lots of breaking headlines. So my suggestion is that the 23rd Psalm is the antidote to CNN syndrome. That when you find yourself getting too consumed and feeling like you really have to get back to the media to find out what's going on next, and it becomes this obsession, find a quiet place, step back, recite the 23rd Psalm, and your troubles will be over. It's the Shepherd Psalm, they say, appropriately named. Facing the valleys and the shadows of life, it remembers life's delights. It's simple. There's a childlike element almost, isn't there, in those words, and a reminder of the presence of God, a reminder of those words in John where Jesus said, "I am the great shepherd." And we heard a bit of that passage read just a few minutes ago. It's a life story. It's a happy ending. It gives trust and confidence. It breathes it into us like filling us with the Spirit. It's the stream of clear water. It's a field of green grass. It's the water that runs deep into our hearts. It's the fields that bring peace to our souls. It brings forth an acknowledgement of the never-failing love and goodness of God. And oh, don't we need to hear that message now. It's a particular portion of Scripture that calls us and challenges us as well, and asks us to find peacefulness and rest in our own lives, to find hopeful things in this world, to look to eternity with God's grace leading the way and God's providential care. It's intensely personal. The Lord is my shepherd. 17 times in that passage, the possessive my or me or I is used. There was a story about this father who was trying to teach his daughter, who was a young reader, to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And so he began reciting it to her, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "You know, dear, he can be your shepherd too. Now, repeat after me." And she said, "The Lord is your shepherd." "No, no, no, dear. The Lord is my shepherd." "Yes, Dad, the Lord is your shepherd." "No, but you understand, he can be your shepherd, but he's my shepherd." "No, he's my shepherd, and he can be your shepherd." Well, they got really confused. She was able finally to repeat as it was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and learned the passage as well. Somehow those things that we commit to memory and heart come back and call us, don't they, from time to time. And I don't know why exactly from time to time this particular passage comes back to me. But the fact that it is a part of me, that it's within me, that it's something that I recall at times when I feel stressed or challenged, times when I need assurance, not quite sure how or why, God puts those words on my heart. The Lord is my shepherd. How many times have I repeated that since that first time standing behind that GE microphone? The Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I must be one of his sheep. Now, obviously, when Jesus was teaching about this, and in the Gospel of John, you hear a bit of the kind of teaching that was going on, sheep were fairly common in their culture. I can tell you, sheep were not common in my culture. I grew up in the city. I grew up, you know, thinking that chicken came in bags. And that milk came in cartons or bottles. Some people grew up with a different understanding of those things. Is that true? So how in the world can, in this advanced scientific culture, how can we understand and connect this notion of being a sheep of all things? That's not a very flattering thing to call somebody. Hi, you look like a sheep today. I don't think that's going to work so well. I would have preferred the king of beasts, the lion. But a sheep? We are one of the creatures. I want to be a creature of the highest order. I want to be in charge. But who am I to second guess God anyhow? God decided it was a sheep. When I served a church in Gardner, Mass., one of our church families had a small family farm. And guess what? They raised sheep on the farm. In fact, they had bees and sheep, so they called it the Honey Lamb Farm. And it was a great place for kids. We ended up actually moving our vacation Bible school to the farm. It was only a mile outside of town, and we fixed it all up. We put out tents and temporary structures, and for a week we brought kids from all over the city that I was serving at that time, and we probably had 100 plus or 125 kids all going to vacation Bible school at Honey Lamb Farm. So, my friends Bruce and Sandy taught me all about sheep. They invited us at shearing time, so we got to actually see the sheep get sheared when they're really big and full, and then all of a sudden they look like these scrawny little remnant. It's kind of unattractive, actually, after they get sheared off. So I'm thinking, God, how am I like a sheep? There was a book many years ago called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Some of you may have read that, by Philip Keller. And he talked about that whole issue of if God views us as one of his. And it was the relationship that was so important. It wasn't necessarily the animal at all. It could have been a cow, it could have been something else, but sheep, you know, somehow it was known in the culture. And Jesus was able to communicate the simplicity and the trust and the notion of following the shepherd and the relationship between the shepherd and the flock of sheep. One of the things that I noticed when I was able to be around the sheep is that they were afraid of strangers. I think that's what it said in the scripture today. So if I came along, they would move to the other side. If Bruce came out shaking the box of goodies that he was going to feed them, they all came and clustered around him very, very quickly. They frightened easily. One time a dog got in their pen and attacked. They were mortified. There's so many aspects that, when I think about it, characteristics of those sheep that are like we as these frail human beings. They frighten easily. I frighten easily. I fear failing. I fear success. success can ruin a person, you know. If you don't handle it just right, if you don't believe it, ask anybody who won the lottery. I've never won the lottery. But I've heard tell that if you do win the lottery, it changes you as a person. Suddenly, you're successful. You have everything that you want for the rest of your life, and it changes you. So, maybe that's something I'd like to try. Except that I don't play the lottery because I figure I'm saving $5 if I don't spend it. I fear my own limitations. Sheep are impatient. Around feeding time, they were really eager to get that connection made. They were hungry. During the day camp, we ended up moving the sheep to another pasture because they were so nervous with all of the kids around. And we were concerned that the kids might be feeding them the wrong things. A little bit of their extra peanut butter and jelly lunch. Not good for sheep. But they were impatient. They were scared. They followed the shepherd. They followed the one who fed them. They were pleasant. They were fun to pet. But sometimes we noticed they picked at each other. One would bump into the other one, and then the other one would bump into them. Sound like your kids in the middle seat in the back of the car? They're so much like us. Sometimes for no apparent reason, hard to understand, they would just do what they could to irritate each other. And somebody would have to intervene. What does it mean for us to be the sheep of our great shepherd? The one who follows. The one who cares. The one who protects. The one who will compliment us and not expect anything in return. Can we be grateful? Can we accept God's love in the way that God's love was intended? The sheep followed each other. If one started to move, they all followed along. Sometimes we follow that crowd. Sometimes if you opened the pen, they would go astray. Constant care was needed. A firm but gentle hand. Someone to direct, someone to guide. What would it take for us to understand and appreciate the protection of a great shepherd whose care and presence, even in times of solitude and prayer and meditation, can guide us? In John, I am the great shepherd. That was verse 11. I should have had Michael read one more verse. Verse 11. I am the great shepherd. The sheep, with their distinctive characteristics, are more like us than we think or we know. And I thought I was a sophisticated city kid. Turns out I'm more like a sheep than anybody would have guessed. The sheep are silent before their shearer. They do not retaliate. They know their shepherd's voice. They belong to the shepherd, and the shepherd is the one that guides them. As Christians, we belong to the Good Shepherd, Jesus our Christ. I am His. He is mine. He is my shepherd. Not yours. He could be yours. But think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not about what anybody else is doing. It's about my relationship to my God. He knows me by name. He cares for me as I am. He'll be with me even to the point of death and beyond. He forgives me. He leads me. He brings me back when I wander. He's my constant companion. I'm never alone. He's prepared my final resting place. What more could we want? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Perhaps one of the other versions is more appropriate here to say, I shall not lack. This 23rd Psalm. We learned it. All of us learned it. Many of us learned it. It comes back and it supports us. It strengthens us. Because God, our Heavenly Father, incarnate in our Lord Jesus Christ, reminds us how much He loves us. God loves us even if there are no others to love. He loves us all, even if we think we're the only one. The Lord is our God. We are God's people, the sheep of His pasture, the children of His hand. There's a statement this week prepared by Boston area religious leaders in response to the trouble visited upon Charlottesville, Virginia last week. And they called it out. White bigots, some proudly wearing Nazi regalia, shouting racist invectives, egging for a fight, engaged in brutish scuffles, fear-mongering, and even murder in the broad of daylight. Alas, these are unoriginal sins. But what was surprising, they write, and utterly disheartening, was the failure of some of our leaders, political, national, and religious, to unequivocally decry what had been happening with condemnation. One of those strange moments when I witnessed those things, as many of you did as well through the television, is that the thing that came to me was the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And I felt that and repeated that in my head again and again and again. I shall not be afraid, for you, O God, are with me. We are God's people. We witnessed yesterday in the historic city of Boston people coming together by the thousands to proclaim that love will out. The Lord is my shepherd. We will decry abhorrent behaviors. We will fight hate with love. We will proclaim that the Lord is my shepherd. My good shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Remind us, O God, of Your presence. Remind us that You are the great shepherd. Remind us that we have nothing to fear, for You, O God, are with me. Bless us as we proclaim Your love in these days, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. The hymn is 578, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. My shepherd, and I shall never be in need. You are true to your name. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I will not be afraid, for you, O God, are with me. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds together in Him. Go as God's people into this world. Go in peace. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.